Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Sublime, Alan. Happy to be here. It's eruption week.
Big. Big. I'm on site in Mount Gambier. We just got to our Airbnb after a drive here, a practice round, and a dinner. And I'm ready for the pod. Gotta get the pod out. It's Wednesday.
Did you go to the steak restaurant? Where'd you go tonight?
Nah. Tonight was just wherever the golf club where we picked up the players pack.
Yeah.
So we weren't sure what we're doing, but we rolled in and it wasn't that busy. We saw a couple friendly faces, so we sat down for dinner and good times. So steak night tomorrow night.
Beautiful.
Steak night tomorrow night because I've committed to doing a glow round, hosting a glow event on Saturday night, and we got the Friday night lights. So got to sneak the steak night in on Thursday, but that'll be a good one.
Not jealous at all. Not jealous at all.
I'm sure. I'm sure. But no, it was a good day. It was a great day not working. I'll tell you that. That was real nice.
How did your practice round go?
Good. The body's been rough lately for the last sort of few weeks. A couple of weeks ago, my back just started hurting out of nowhere. And I was like, my back doesn't do that anymore. So that was odd, but I was doing a lot of hip and hip flexor and groin stuff, stretches to get me sorted. It was starting to come good, but I picked up some hectic Saturday workouts. So the last couple of Saturdays, I put in a lot of work and that was stuffing me up. But it was getting better every time and I knew that I had my myotherapy appointment on the prior Saturday just gone. So I was like, if we're trending in the right direction, we keep pushing with this, we get the myotherapy. Mate, the body's great. So if I play shit this weekend, it's got nothing to do with body. It's 100% skill. But I played great. I was throwing really well. So I have high hopes.
Okay.
I have high hopes. So I've tipped myself. I put myself up against Kalen and I've tipped myself. Let's just say that.
Big.
Make the cut is goal one, but I feel good. Got across the water on hole 18 with two different discs.
Look out.
No, none of which was the trail. I won't be throwing the trail this weekend.
Look out.
I've had that scorch in my bag and just haven't really done much with it, and it was coming out good. So I think I'm a primary scorch guy. And the Rolo, believe it or not.
Oh.
I put it back in the bag because Snake Pit Hole is my Rolo hole.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Always has, always will be. And just all of a sudden, I was like, got to hole 10, so the little dinker off from the top of the mountain down to the hill, and then you got the one where you got to sort of play through a bit of trees back to the one on the little hill before the elevator basket.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I wonder what the Rolo does there. You know what it does? It goes past the pin.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. And then so you got the elevator basket. You know what the Rolo does there? Gets to the rocks.
What?
I'm like, okay. And then you got that next hole. And then the one where you've got those two trees to beat, you know what the Rolo does? Gets to the pin.
Fuck off.
So I went Rolo on 10.
Oh, I'm going to start calling you Taron fucking Anderson. You're throwing a Rolo around eruption. Is that what's going on?
I went Rolo and will tomorrow go Rolo 10, 11, 13, 14.
Jesus Christ. Okay. I hope that pans out well for
watch
you.
Watch out. Watch scores on 10, 11, 13, 14. These are not holes I birdie. Ever.
Yeah, true.
I'll get a birdie tomorrow on one of them.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. 11 a.m. What's the time difference? What time are you
half
at now?
Half an hour. So I'm 8:30. You're 9.
All right, cool. Yep.
But it was good. It was good. I was throwing the scorch well. Everything was going well. The body was feeling well. I was playing, a bit of best shot doubles with myself. But, birdies. Getting birdies here and there and a lot of pars. So, I'm feeling good. We'll see. It could all turn to shit. The forehand's pretty good now. So, hole one just isn't that daunting anymore, you know what I mean? If mm-hmm. I get that good drive off, I got a forehand up to C2, had a putt. That was not a thing any other year. So we'll see. We'll see.
It's all those field works that you've been doing.
Heaps. So many. Nah, the body's just feeling good. I've peaked at the right time, body-wise. Good. So as long as I don't do anything to ruin it, which is always a chance. But and then, yeah, I don't know if it's Winnie and I'm just shit. We'll see. But I feel good. I feel good. I have high hopes. Make the cut's main goal, but beat Kalen's second goal and then win third, I think.
Well, I think if you beat Kalen, you make the cut.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. That's why I said make cut first goal.
Yeah.
And then, the tee off epitome against Kalen as a slight to me, I believe. And then I just looked at it and I'm like, it shouldn't be that much of a slight. It just shouldn't be. He's only a few ratings points above me. I know mine's a bit inflated and he's still on the way up, but it's just, I shouldn't be looking at Kalen and be like, this is insurmountable. That's bullshit. I've beaten him before and things this year. So let's do it again. So that's why I put myself against him in the tipping comp too, because I was like, good, I hope everyone picks Kalen and then I get to go, fuck you all.
Wicked.
So that's a goal, but we'll see. But no, very optimistic and love the idea of the cut, but I may hate it on Saturday. We'll see.
I went searching on the live app, you know, and often they'll like, I'm sure that's a way of showing the cut line early.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know we've all just been running with 40%, but there's got to be, like, 40%'s not leaving many people playing on the Monday.
Well, the whole rest of the field will. So, because we start a day early.
Yep.
Yeah, but there won't be many. Like, there'll be 10 MPO players and 11 MA1, I believe. So, all the female divisions, they don't have a cut because there's just not many of them.
Yep.
But I think it'll be 4 MP40, 11 MA1, 10 MPO and shit, I can't remember, NMA 40, 5 or 6 or something.
But if I'm hearing this right, like Friday and Saturday, like the course is going to be chockers. Everyone else starts on Friday?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like, it's 200 people.
Yeah, yeah.
They would have had roughly that, 195. They would have had close to that last year or that.
So, and they're getting all those tee times in.
Yeah.
And, okay. Okay.
Yeah, so it's not like I don't, you know, Ryan and Michelle, they try stuff. They want to keep things fresh and keep the eruption as like a, you know, the tournament. And this is new. No one's tried this before.
Sure.
When like I don't think we've ever had a cut. And I think it's spicy. So I can't remember if I said it on here or not, but Ryan had asked me about it. My initial thought when he said it was like, I don't like. I said, but I've come around on it. And I told him you would... Like, you'll know people's opinions on register.
Sign-ups. Yeah, and where people sign up.
Yeah. And it's, like, the people have said they like it because there's not many people that are in the divisions they shouldn't be in. So, like, I'm looking at MPO and down the bottom, we've got, where did I lose it? The ratings was. We've got, like, Kalen Borg. No, that's the wrong one. I'm looking at the wrong year. I had it up when I was doing some research. You got Charlie Buffin, 910, Budgie, Fisk, like all these dudes at Northern Play. None of them are dropping out. We've got to touch on this later, but we're here now. The segment I had written on the run sheet just says, who's a bitch?
Yes.
And I've got some bitches to name.
Please.
And I'll preface this by saying, if I had... no chance of making the cut. You'd find me in MA2 real quick.
Yep.
And I have no problems with saying that. But I will just call these people out for being bitches anyway. So the only name that I see that is typically MPO, and this is stiff because he should be MA2, but is typically MPO, is Broden Schrapp. I think he's played all these events this year at MPO. But he's a bitch. He's down in MA1, and he's not going to make the cut there either. So bad luck, Broden. In terms of MA1 players playing MA2, I don't see any. I don't see any. So well done to the MA1 crowd. And there are a lot of, I don't want to say it, but filler. There's a lot of filler in the bottom part of MA1, which is helping me make cut. So thank you to those people. But when we start getting into the 40s, I'm having a look at MA2, and there's two names that stare out. They're staring at me.
100%.
What? Who are the names you seeing?
Well, the two highest rated players in MA2. Here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say to this, because this makes no sense when they've got both MA40 and MP40 to choose from, that allows them to play an extra day and make the cut. And both of these players would walk the cut in MA40,
mm-hmm.
and be half a chance in MP40. It has to be like a work commitment.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm just going with you're a bitch. And
fair enough.
Glenn Maisie, Tim Ware, you don't play MA2. You're a bitch.
Yeah, but it has to be what I said, because there's just not a chance in hell, I don't reckon, that neither of them don't just breeze the cut in MA40.
I believe so too.
Yeah.
I believe so too. But so honestly, it's pretty fair. Like, they're probably doing it work commitments, and Broden's just not an NPO player. So people have spoken, and right now there's a lot of excitement about it, but Matty Green was like, what's that excitement going to look like on Sunday morning? I was like, oh, people will be angry.
Yeah.
They'll be angry.
Well, this is the only thing I can't wrap my head around, and I just wish there was, like, I know, like, and I'm not there, and I'm like, I'm out of the loop, right? But the only thing I can't wrap my head around is, like, not being, like, not doing cards of four. So, like, why is it not just, like, 12 NPO players?
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, that's the only, like, so I haven't seen, like, stringent media on the fact that they're, like, going to stick to their 40%.
Oh, because, you're not in the player pool, but we got an email saying it's 40%.
Yeah. And they're just sticking to that fat, so there's just going to be, a two NPO players that have to play with not NPO.
Or they'll just run threes.
And there'll be one.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's things like that. Especially at the NPO, I'm just like, and I think I was talking to Vil at Ballarat at League Day, and Vil's like, I think Vil was on the same page as me. Maybe I'm just stealing Vil's page. I'm like, Vil's like, I think it's 40%, but like, they're either going to do 8 or 12. Like, they're surely not going to do between 8 and 12. Like, that makes no sense.
No, I get that. No, but that does make sense that would make no sense.
Yeah.
I hope not, because that will fuck up my tipping. Because if they go to 12, then I think two of the people that I said won't make the cut probably make the cut. I don't know. Actually, you raise a good point. You raise a good point. And MA1 being 11 as well, that's odd.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not
like
sure.
When you've got a random division of like MA2 playing with 27 or mm-hmm. whatever, like, it's just like, even, you know, have these cuts, sharpen it up, and have like, yeah, here are the three top cuts.
Mm.
Or here are the two top cuts, whatever it is. Like, it's just going to be weird for me if there's two NPO players playing with MP40 or something. I'm like, well, what's going on here? What are they even doing?
Yeah. Nah, you raise a good point. I hadn't really thought about that. But that could be a good, and there'll be someone bitter who come 12th, who probably shot 970 rated, and is like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Course changes? Not me.
Yeah, go on. And yeah, talk to us about the trees.
Yeah, not bad. Like, so I barely noticed the whole 17 thing. That's still really hard. I barely noticed that. I couldn't even really pick out what was going on with that. You still need to hit a low ceiling gap to get in there. So that's not really noticeable. The changes for the A pool, really, what is the changes? Hole five stayed the same with that hectic long pin, the one where we go down and then across the road.
Yep.
So nothing's changed there. Where do we do it? Oh, the par five, they've brought the OB in on the left for sure. So, you know, it separates.
The eagleable one?
Yeah, the one
not,
back.
Not for us, but
yeah. So it separates hole two and hole six or whatever that is, seven. Mm-hmm. It's more in on, so the hyzer play off the tee is a little more sketch now. It still shouldn't be a factor, but if you go too stable, you can find yourself out of bounds. Whereas you couldn't really find yourself out of bounds off the tee before.
Yep.
And it more comes into play, I think, with your second shot. Because if you do go stable and then stable again, because sometimes there's all those trees on that side. If you just try to pick your skinny line instead of doing a wide hyzer, you could find yourself out of bounds on your second shot pretty quick.
Yep.
So that's a factor. And then the next hole, hole eight. You know how last year they put all that out of bounds in? They've definitely modified it. So basically no one, or maybe some top twos in the NPO, but no one in MA1 for sure, not many of the NPOs were trying to go over.
Yep.
They've brought it in a bit, maybe 6-7 meters, to the point where by that stage I was throwing well and I was like, my plays go over.
Okay.
And I landed up on the flat.
So up that hill on that other side, it's a bit further down the hill.
Yeah. So you know how you had to get up onto the flat?
Yeah.
Last time. Well, I landed today, I think, what would have been inbounds before, but it was probably 6 or 7 meters inbounds now.
Okay.
So I feel like it's come in for sure, like 6 or 7 meters. And it's enough that it like, you can see it. Like you can see it down on that hill and it just goes, oh, I can make that.
Tempts you, yeah.
So I think more people are going to do it. And then the other thing they've done, which is it's smart, like for them to tell people to go for it, is they've brought it out on the right-hand side. So now that forehand chip shot has to get more right. So they've basically discouraged that chip shot play. So they've brought it in and then brought it across.
Sure.
So yeah, that's spicy for sure. And then the one that's controversial, which I don't know, I don't think that controversial, is the next one, hole nine. So on the map, you've probably seen the map of it. It looks strange as fuck, like an island with like a cutout moon of OB and then another ring of Hazard.
Is this the Dinker hole?
The Dinker hole. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't really know why they did what they did with the Hazard and the OB or whatever. Anyway, but it just plays as an island. Like people are overthinking it for sure. And it's mostly the 10 meter circle. Short is not as much 10. It might be 8 short, but then it's 10 to 12 left, right and back.
Yep.
And then it goes to, yeah, it's like OB short and Hazard all around it. So it's like, it just sort of encourages you to go long kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still that same shot. Like, just put it. If anything, the tee pad I think might have changed.
Drop zone for the OB or what?
No, normal.
Or OB rules.
Yeah, just normal OB rules. So because all it's not even an iron. Like all short is like inbounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you go real, because all the bushes and shit are out of bounds. So if you just real dinked it short, then you're fucked. You're basically a re-tee, I think. But it's I don't know. I think people are making a bigger deal of it than it is. They essentially just put an island on it.
Yep.
That's not that big of a deal. That's the shortest hole in the course. But yeah, the tee pad's probably the tee pad's more of an issue than the, not an issue, but like more of a thing, a factor than the out of bounds is. So it's, I think it might have just been where it is last year, but maybe back a bit. So there's no clear shot. There's sort of a, like, I'm still throwing the Tommy, but it's tight on the right. And then you want to throw, like, what you want to do is throw, like, a forehand. But it's, you have to throw, like, a wide hyzer forehand. You can't really shoot at it. I think that the tee pad placement is way more of a factor than the island. And that's what people are just talking about it because it's drawn weird. But, yeah. No, I think it's fine. But, yeah, you're going to see a lot more fours, of course. But it's not like disaster or like gross. We've done way worse.
Well, speaking of, I wish I didn't, but I actually I couldn't help myself and I had a little look at last year's results, and this will probably come up a little bit in our predictions, but I somehow erased this from my memory. The only people I beat were Paddy Robinson and Matty Noblett, because they DNF'd. I got a plus 41, which firmly put me dead last in MP40. And the only scalps I was taking in MA1 starts at fucking Camille. So
You weren't good last year.
I'm glad I've erased that from my memory. Plus 41 was rough going.
Yeah, I don't know how you don't remember that. Weather was tough and you struggled. I struggled and I think I still got you.
Got me by 6 strokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was shit. From memory, it was a lot of putting. I think you're just like, I was actually throwing okay, and then just putting like dog shit.
Okay.
But weather was tough last year. I think it should be better. It was a gorgeous day today, so I don't know.
I would have taken stats. I'm just gonna have a little peruse. How was it going?
While you look at that, I think that's the only real changes for the A pool and then the B pool. It's the same changes, but then hole 17 is from down on the ground, like it was. I think it was last year as well. So that's not really a change. But hole 18 has a new pin placement. Tee pad placement.
Okay, yep.
So, yeah, off to the left, where, you know, if you want to say it, play that little pitch play off to the left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that direction back. It's still a shot. It's still a shot, but it's more just a straight shot, a lot less risk of the water. If you're throwing the forehand, you're in some strife. If you're throwing the forehand and you're in those bitch divisions, you will go in the out of bounds. Fact. But the backhand, it's definitely better, and I'm sure it'll flow much better. So much more appropriate. Still a tough hole. Still a lot of people will go out of bounds. Still a lot of people land in hazard. So I think that's a good change. And then par changes. So hole 2 is now par 5, which I think is great. And then that hectic hole 5, 2, 3, 4, 5, yep, is a par 5.
Okay.
I think that's it. Oh, maybe yep. even... There. Oh, I think hole 9...
par 4
or yeah or 8 whatever it is after the par 5
yeah
I think that yeah is shorter tee pad potentially as well. I didn't remember seeing that, but I think someone told me that today because I was talking about how I used to, last year I went to that spot and then just laughed at everyone.
but this year
that won't be so bad because that shot's not as hectic. But yeah, so that's the changes. Other than that, it's just the normal eruption course and it's fucking dope. It's a great round today. Had a great round today. Good crew out there. Fun ass rounds and super keen. I've got a great card for tomorrow, so I'm keen.
Feature card,
yeah, mate. That's what I do.
That's what you do.
And I typically finish, not finish, but like my rounds are generally the same as where I get put to start off with. It's a weird thing. You can look back at my old tourneys, but like if I get put on third card to begin with, my round 2 is on third card.
Yep.
Like, it's weird, man. I don't know what it is. The only thing that I'm nervous about is because we're starting early tomorrow to compensate so, like, people can get here and do a practice round after.
Yep.
I'm nervous that maybe when the full card comes in that my tee time might stay the same, but not necessarily my crew.
It's more of a timing thing, not a card thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's funny.
But no, I'll probably lead card tomorrow. Just, we've got to make bold predictions while we're here.
Yeah, sweet.
But no, other than that, yeah, it's looking good. It's looking good. Course is looking fantastic. Yeah, no much real deal with trees or anything like that. It's a lot like last year, so should be good.
Cool.
Should we do some predictions or something? You got anything more?
No. Let's do it.
Oh, I like it. Who do you like? Well, we'll start from the bottom. We'll go up. We won't touch on everyone because, there's a lot of people going on. But there's a lot of people in MA4. Who do we like?
I saw Aaron Ponadurai featuring your tips.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say I'm tipping him. I've got to go from the boy from the Pro Tour, Joey Buckets.
Oh, exactly who I was picking as well. How can it not be Joey Buckets?
He's pretty so good. He plays on the Pro Tour.
I don't know he's getting away with this. But he'll win easy.
Surely.
massive field in FA3, 8 women playing in that, which is hectic. And Taylor Clark, she's a local, right? Yeah, she is. So I think she takes it out.
Okay. I'm going to go for the Victorian and go Michaela Cooper.
Mm, it should be a good battle. I think that's going to be a good one to watch.
Mm-hmm.
MA3, thick with Victorians.
Mm.
Who are you thinking?
If I have to root for a Victorian, it's hard to go past Carlton Clerk.
Mm, I'm going to. I'm going to sneak past him a little bit. And I'm going with Alex Ritchie. He's been too good lately.
Yeah, that's big.
And he hasn't played any PDJ tournaments, so I don't think the ratings caught up.
Yeah.
And I think that might be who I paired him up with in the tipping.
Yes, it might be.
It might be. I can't remember exactly, but I think I might have tipped Richie
over in that matchup. But that's okay. That's okay.
But I like it. It's looking good. Ash has been up and about as well. Mick Wilson's the highest rated player. He's pretty good. Riley Pether as well. Yeah, should be good. Should be a good one to watch. What do we got? Kim Michelle and Kate Eldridge. That's a battle. The local and the slinger. We got to go with Kim, right?
And they're so tightly matched. Yeah. We do, because we're loyal people, but she's going to be up against it.
Yeah.
She's going to be up against it. MA2, is Maisie back? Like, have we confirmed or denied whether or not Maisie can play again?
I always think Maisie can play.
Yeah.
I always think he can play. Timmy is, like, sneaky down with his rating.
Yeah, 100% he is, yeah.
But it's not, like, he got there on his own.
Oh, yeah, through some assistance of ours and missing a few islands. They're going 1-2, though. I think those Victorians are going 1-2.
I agree. If it's not that, oh, that's shame. That's shame on them. I don't like it if they don't get 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll have to back Timmy in, I think. I think Timmy's top end is better than Glenn's top end. And so if Timmy brings his top end, then we should be sweet.
I agree.
What are we looking at, though? I want to know your Duncan McIntosh versus Wayne Govan, and I'm giving Wayne 8.5 strokes.
Oh, I've gone Wayne all day.
I like it.
Wayne has the chance to beat Duncan scratch. Mm. The fact that you've given him 8.5... I jumped on that.
Nice. I like it. I like it. A lot of good matchups in the MA2 for the tipping. It's good.
Yeah.
Janet has popped over. She's back. She's just playing everything now. I think to the injury free. And she's in against Sue Donnelly and Tanya Behan. And I mean, are we just throwing darts at a dartboard here? Like, who's winning this?
Yeah, they will tie and they will go to a playoff.
Three-way.
And it could last for a while.
Yeah, nah, 100%. I think we've got to go with Janet. But it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Saw Tan tonight. She's looking like she's in form.
Good. I will tip Sue.
Hmm. MA50, it's not Jeff, I can tell you that. That's the only thing I can tell you. But Lotus is fucking good, man.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever loses.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't think he ever loses. So I'd be amazed if he loses this.
What a ring-a-ding-ding. Mm. Like, just from, Richard, from even Richard Ainsley, Lewis mate. Shell's like sitting like eighth highest rated.
Yeah. No, this is going to be a battle.
Glenn Ralston just popped off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whoa. Yeah, he was in a weird spot. I found it hard to find a spot for him in the tipping. I was going to do him and Richard Lewis Shell, but I just, end up just leaving him off. But, yeah, it's tough. But I'm going Lotus. He just dominates, man. He always wins.
Mike Vanderlinden.
Big.
To get a big W.
Big. Very big.
Yeah.
Carol Hartley's playing, so I assume Carol Hartley wins, but she is severely outrated by Joanne McCamish.
Yes.
Not a name I'm familiar with, so I can't go there. Can't go there with her.
Yes, fair enough. Yeah, who knows? I don't know. Carol wins, but yeah, maybe not.
All right. MA40. The first of the cuts, but they are playing the B layout.
Yeah, I see this.
MA and FA40 are playing the B layout, which means that tomorrow and tomorrow only, there will be a 22-player pool to sort out ratings.
Mm.
Going to be hectic.
It will be. with artificial OB, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out and the stroke differential. Look, I'm not familiar with Matt Beard, but you've got Justin Clark nipping at his heels on his own track. Going to be hard to beat. It's Justin Clark all the way.
Mm.
Probably mind the gap. If I'm honest.
Yeah, I'm calling him mind the gap.
Yeah,
I'm calling him mind the gap for sure. Yeah. And I'd be interested to see who throws more rollers, me or Taryn.
Yeah, that's I'll have to keep a track of it.
Roller count.
Yeah. Roller count.
Emma and Claire Bruton. That'd be nice too. God, there's a lot of good matchups in the women's divisions. Not a lot of players, but a lot of good matchups. I'll go we'll back Emma in.
Claire's winning that.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. My division here. Played the practice round this morning with Penn. And looked great and looked terrible.
Okay.
Did some weird things. But just a lot of like weird OB stuff. But I think he was just trying things. I think come the weekend, he'll be fine. Bruce Lee, highest rated player. But he got some shenanigans on Ozdisc Golf Day, which bumped him up a bit.
Yep.
Tim Davis, hard to beat for sure. Kalen going to be up and about. Alan's going to be up and about. Very forehand friendly. Benedict O'Byrne going to be doing things. I think it's going to be tight, but I think Penn wins. Second last year to Cade Ashton.
Yes, I was looking at that.
And he's been. This is the one. This is the one he wants.
Yeah, it is.
This is the one he's been waiting to win so he can go up and be an NPO problem. And I think he gets it done. Tom Lee is allergic to winning.
Okay.
I think it's 4 years running. SA Open playoff. Loser.
Yes.
4 years on the trot. That's allergic to winning. So it's not going to be him. So I think it's Penn. And there's a fair ratings gap between Penn and anyone else.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think he'll be too good.
I think he should be too good. I think he should be too good. And he'll be looking to be too good on the weekend.
And I'll probably come second.
Congratulations.
Can I stake that now?
Yeah.
Nah, it's going to be good. The cut line's going to be tight, spicy here. So, what I say, 11. I am ninth highest rated. Michael Gleese doesn't have a rating, but he is right there with me, or if not above, in terms of rating. Luke Robertson's tied with me. Ed, Narada, Marty, all just a few below me. It's fucking... It's on. It's thick. It's thick. So, really I'm excited.
It really is. Yeah. MP Thorty, speaking of thick.
Thick.
Like, what is going on here? Thick. What is going on here? It's just missing a bit of Ruben Berg and a bit of Darren Stay Smith, isn't it?
God, that'd be so good.
Yeah. But I'm backing in RJ. I noticed you put Ryan Johnson up against Chris Finn in the tips, and I just have to back him in, and I'm pretty sure he had a pretty handy one last year. Yeah. Yes, he took it down. Only bloke to go under in his field. And so, yeah, took scalps and MPO. I'm backing him in to go back-to-back here, Ryan Johnson.
Gareth played well today. Gareth was throwing today, putting too. So he could be real spicy in this. My biggest factor is that I'm pretty sure Finney is staying in the old jail with a crew that intends to be a bit loose.
Okay.
And I think Finney likes to get amongst it. And he forgets that he's 63.
Yep.
So I think Finney might have over four rounds. I think he might have one too many Rumpelstiltskins, and Ryan Johnson will just cruise past him. So I'm with you. But don't go. Like, Youngblood's bloody good, man.
Yeah.
He just doesn't leave. He doesn't leave South Australia. But we are currently still in South Australia. So FPO, Huss is in the field. I always take Huss if Huss is in the field.
Yeah, of course. Done.
Easy one. And now the big one, the big boys. I honestly was going to pick Aussie D. That would have been my tip for the weekend. But he is not playing.
Yeah.
He's not playing. So it's gotten spicy.
Where's Jade Brady?
Not playing.
Highest finish Australian last year.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what their deal is. I got to find out. Both of them played last weekend. So they're not hurt or injured or anything like that. They're a ram.
Yeah.
So not sure. But, yeah, it gets... You got Perry. You got Blake. you got Bainey, and then it kind of gets a little squirrely after that.
Yeah.
Like, good players, but yeah, what are you thinking?
David Perry. Mm-hmm. David Perry wins. David Perry, we're in the David Perry area.
I agree.
And we just have to pull up a seat, grab some popcorn and enjoy it for what it is. And just watch him take down some W's, and that's really great. Blake will come painstakingly close.
Ooh,
and I like that for Blake. But it's hard, you know. You don't want to be the Stuart McGill's born in the Shane Warne era. And I do feel sorry for a little bit of Blake.
I like Paddy here. Last year, Paddy was, I'm pretty sure...
DNF'd.
Yeah, but before he DNF'd. Because he DNF'd to go...
I beat Paddy.
He DNF'd to go play world teams.
Yeah, I know.
And I think he was in the mix, if not ahead. So I like him.
He was 125 after two. Casey was 122. Stanless was 124. Jade was 123. Blake was 123. He was in fifth.
Yeah, in the mix, if not ahead, like I said.
Yeah, no, but he was. He was only three. He was only three back from the lead. Yeah. He was absolutely in the mix. Yeah.
No, I like him. I like him for second.
Yeah.
In one of the tipping things, I have set the line, and I'm very interested in this one. And I think I've set it in a very deliberate manner because I want to be the only one who gets it correct. I've set the line for the amount of people to go under par, and this is just pool A. I didn't specify that, but it'll be pool A at 3.5.
Yeah, I saw that. You reckon only three are going under par?
I've taken under.
Yeah,
and
Surely you're wrong.
I wanted to set it at 4.5. I thought that was a better line, and I went one down so that no one else would go under.
Yep.
And then I would be the only one. I'm going to be the only one who picks me, and I'm going to get it right, and I'm going to be the only one who gets that and gets it right. What are your thoughts? Because I back myself in with my line picking. And this is one where I know it's not going to be 50-50. People are going to go hammer the over.
People will hammer the over, inclusive of me. I think people ask, well, it depends on the weather. Depends on the weather.
It's going to be nice.
Yeah, well, I think you're sacrificing a tip there at unders. People have figured this course out. You're gonna get 5 under in MPO, and then you know the occasional MP40 and the one MA1 player.
So last year you're gonna get four, so you reckon there's gonna be 7 or 8? All right. Last year there was 4. 2 of them internationals, or I guess 5 if you count Ryan Johnson. 2 of them internationals that aren't playing anymore. One of them Jade Brady not playing. I know there was no Dave Perry. The year before there was like 8, but different course, like without some of that extra out of bounds and that extra long hole. This year the weather's gonna be much nicer than last year, but I think the field is down, and I think hole 9 factors. There's gonna be more 4s in that. I stand by it. I hope no one else does. I hope no one takes the under, and I may be wrong. This could be a big swing and a miss. I could be way wrong here, but I like it. I like it a lot. I like that you think like 7 or 8.
Well, yeah, I think 6, but 6.
It's still a lot more than 3.5.
It's a lot more than 3.5.
If it's exactly 6, I'll be like, I fucked up. I fucked up. But like I said, I think my line I wanted was 4.5. That was the one I thought that would might entice people one way or the other.
Yep.
But I think 3. I think it'll be 3. I think it'll be Dave and 2 others. And I don't think it'll be any MA1s, and I don't think it'll be any MP40s.
But I hear.
We'll see.
We will.
Are we going to hear any more from Eruption?
No. Tell us what shook out in Street League.
I can do that.
Please do. Please do.
Big week. So we had the double matchup. It was round six slash the first week of finals.
Because it's different. So not everyone's playing DWA. What's going on with DWA?
So once we had the finals, we had a 1-2-3-4 matchup. 1-2 yep. play, winner immediately into the grand final.
Oh, wicked, I see. Yep.
3-4, loser eliminated. Winner yep. of that plays loser of the other matchup at DWA. Loser of that out. Winner plays the people straight into the grand final.
Yep.
So that's how that went down. And there was not nothing to play for in round six. So my team could not advance anything other than we could move to third, I think, maybe. But we couldn't get into the top two spots. But with a win, Lionel Putz would move themselves into first spot, I believe. At least definitely guaranteeing top two. With a loss and a win from Picanti Beans, then it would have put Lionel Putz into third and Picanti into second. So that's what we were dealing with.
Okay.
But the scenario that played out was the kind of one we expected, because the Kalen team wasn't really... like, they were the top team, but Lionel Putz seemed like the best team. Mm-hmm. And our team had no wins, but seemed like better than Picanti Beans. So it looked like it was going to be an us win over Picanti and a Putz win over Kalen, and then that would force a rematch of both matches in the first final.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yep.
So it was a bit weird for the round six results for us versus Picanti, because there were some matches still up in the air when Lionel Putz won. And that meant that it didn't matter what happened with that matchup. We were going to be 3-4 no matter what.
Yeah.
Sorry. So we just pulled the pin. I was all square with Sam Barnett and playing playoff holes. And we just pulled the pin. There was a few others going. But it looked like it was a tie. I think we had two wins on our side, two wins on their side. And Barney and I were all square. So as deadlocked as it can get. But we had Chris Scott take care of James Honeyman, 3-2 to play. Ville took down Dazza in a playoff hole. Dazza had the lead and Ville came back and then won the playoff. Doug Adams took down Taryn real comfortably. That was on my card. Real comfortably. Max Tats and Picanti took down Peter and Ilya in 5 minutes. And Diros got it done over Mikey Hare. So good battles. Good battles out there. Did I skip some of the other boys? I think I might have. Ash and Zach got it got done by Brett and Kyle. And Kalen and Timmy Ware got it done over Joel Way and Narada. So good battle there. That's a good one. But nice win that. So we're all set for the rematch, I think. There must have been changes for the other boys, because there was a forced doubles pairing of like 2 and 5 or something like that. Definitely some changes on our team. There was some strategy going into it. We had a good chat, Brennan, myself, and Aiden. And Brennan was just like, you know, what are we doing? Are we going to mix some stuff up? And I said, well, I didn't play great and I couldn't beat Sam. Like, he couldn't beat me, but I couldn't beat him.
Yeah.
So, like, we may as well mix it up. Plus, Brennan's just better than me. So we put Brennan in the singles, chucked myself and Taryn in the dubs, and got Aiden back out of the dubs into the singles, and it was looking good. So, and it came out pretty aggressive for Disco Stu. It was a very comfortable win. Diros got it done 3-up over Dykes. Aiden got it done 1-up over Penn. Brennan got it done 2-up over Barney. And myself and Taryn got it done 1-up over Picanti and Peter Chu. And when they read these matchups out and I saw that matchup, I can't even describe how much I licked my chops.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, sweet. We're going to DWA. When I saw that doubles pairing, and Taryn and I did not step up to the plate. And Picanti and Pete did. Pete was even a little off. Picanti was hitting some good putts and hitting some nice drives. Pete was doing some all right drives, but not really putting. And Tara and I weren't doing anything. We got down two pretty quick. But there was a nice three-hole stretch where I remembered I'm a pretty good putter. And I canned a couple C2s and threw some nice drives. And I think we went from one down to one up. And then the final three or four holes, which is really tough. None of them birdied anything, and we got through, so that was all right. And Doug Adams and Max Tatz, the lone win for Picanti's Beans, got it done over Peter Barry and Ilya. So Picanti's Beans eliminated Disco Stu through to Diwa in the elimination playoff.
Wicked.
And the rematch between Lionel Putz and Van Kalen was nice and spicy. So the doubles for Van Kalen, Matt Finnegan, and Paul Baker, who Paul subbed in for Honeyman, who had to leave. And Paul and Honeyman are not the same player.
No.
But Matt Finnegan and Paul Baker got it done over Carlton Clerk and Matt Mutter. The other doubles matchup, also Van Kalen's way, Schleff and Weednuth. That's a pretty decent doubles matchup. Gets it done over Turbo Herbo and Damian Moosey. Also one up. So it comes down to the singles. Van Kalen's got Ville at the top, strong top. Kalen at the two, pretty good there too. Timmy Ware at the three, up against Dazza, Chris Scott, and Brett Zeeble. On paper, these look pretty even. Pretty even. Yeah, if not tipped to Van Kalen's way. Brett Zeeble gets it done over Tim Ware, one up. Good for Lionel Putz. Chris Scott says, not in my fucking house, Kalen. You can't play a Bald Hill. One up. Comes down to Dazza and Ville, who went to a playoff in the previous round. Went to a playoff again. Could not separate them. But this time, Dazza gets it done, and Lionel Putz, due to their top three, goes boom, straight into the granny. Big.
Big.
Big. Dazza over Ville. Do you have it?
No, I wouldn't tip that.
You would have had it on your bingo card?
No, I wouldn't have had that, no.
So big. Lionel Putz goes in straight to the granny, which means going to Diwa, Van Kalen versus Disco Stu. We've played him twice. We've lost to him twice. But this time I think it'll be different. I'll be probably eruption champion, and that'll make a big difference. But I think we're going to be...
I might be there. I might be cooking up some snags.
Oh, I like it.
I'll put it on the calendar. I haven't told the boss. I've got this like little covert operation that I run in my household where it doesn't happen unless it's on the calendar. And like most shit's meant to go through the boss before it's on the calendar. But I just stuck a bit of disc golf on the calendar, and we'll see. We'll see. I can see if I can pull the hoodwinker and be like, yeah, this was discussed.
I like it. That's good.
I just before we get into some guarantees or spotlight not lights, mm-hmm. I crunched some numbers. The average rated player at Mount Gambier last year was 867 rated.
Mm.
The average rated player at Mount Gambier this year is 3 points higher at 870. Probably inflated by Thrower's non-invitation.
Probably. I like it. Nah, it's good.
I didn't know. Oh, and on that note, I didn't know they were podiuming him. I didn't know minis were going to the podium.
Oh, I know, right? I need to get a photo of Dave and Ville and Mikey with their three minis.
Yes, you do.
For sure. But I got mine. Brett Zeeble got his. We got plenty. We got plenty of Melbourne minis. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
All right. We got anything else, or are we going into some guarantees?
That's where we're at, isn't it?
Yeah, perfect. I want me make cut.
Yeah. And what are you saying? What are you saying? 11. How many in MA1?
11, to the best of my knowledge. So even let's say it doesn't pan out that way.
Yep.
I'll be 11th or better come round by the end of round three.
Yep. I'll give you a four.
I'll take it. I've got to back myself in. I'll take it. I'll take what I get. Me make cut, four.
Yeah, it's generous for you. The top 11, you're just on the high, what, ninth rated?
I'm ninth, but like I said, Gleesy.
You're plus 35 last year.
Gleesy's there, and yeah, that's, well, we didn't have to say the number, but
I'll tell you what, plus 35 ain't making cut.
No, I came 19th last year, bro. What do you got?
All right. I want Dylan Feldman cut.
Ooh. Fuck. Yeah, he should. He should. I'll give four.
Four? Oh, fuck yeah. I'm taking that.
Yeah? Fuck. All right. I put my iPad's about to die, so I don't actually have the ratings out. But he's... Yeah. I think he's... Yeah, four, I said it. Four. That's fine. I'm not giving you 70 fucking dozen.
Yes, if you said 70 dozen, I'm taking seven.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and just hoping that he's fucked. Sorry, Dylan.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Nah, still make cut.
I think you've done... Yeah. That's a good one. You've done that there. I liked... Who did I give in the matchup?
Tim Bowen.
Nah, no way. In the tipping. Was it him versus Timmy B?
No, sorry, I don't know who you put him against. You said Tim Bowen versus the cut.
Oh, yeah. No, I had that. But no, I had a good matchup with Dill. I think Mikey Hare. I had a Dill Mikey Hare.
Yeah, I think it might have been, yeah. Yeah.
I like that for sure. All right, these are good. Nice and clear cut. Al make cut, Dill make cut, four each. We're both tied on 38. Both of these will happen. So we'll be tied on 42. And then we're going to be trying to find eights.
Yeah.
to round this shit out before the end of the year.
Yep.
Spotlight, not light.
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
Not much frisbee happened.
No, I know.
Not much frisbee happened. I will circle back to the Goose Man. I wanted to see how he would perform.
Socials
and on the on Tour Life. Didn't know he was going to be on it, but he was on it. And I'm going to go not light.
Oh, good. If you were going to spotlight, I was going to not light you. Yeah, go with it. What do we got?
Yeah, just not light. He just fucking didn't own it enough, and he was still just fucking playing in the weeds, and the dust had settled on the fact that you were a dick. And, like, he was like, oh, I'm going to couch this in the fact that I was a dick. No, don't couch it in that. Just, like, I was a dick, and yeah. I lowered my colours. Like, yeah.
I didn't hear one single sorry.
Yeah, nah. Exactly.
But I did hear, I want to make it clear that I never yelled at an official. And I'm like, oh, fuck off, mate. You look like a dick. You were a dick.
Yeah.
Eat a dick.
Yeah.
Nah, good not light. I like that. I second that. I've got nothing else. The only not light that I've got is anyone who's not at the eruption. That's shame on me. That's a not light.
Yeah, I was going to not light my 12 months ago performance. That was going to be my not light. How the fuck did I shoot plus 41? I want to... I'm glad I'm not there this year.
Did you get your stats up or not?
No, they weren't there. I didn't take stats. Who knows? I was probably drunk. I wish I was there. Have fun. Tag away. Did you see my thirst trap photo on socials?
No, oh, no. What do we got?
You got to go on Throwers, boy. There's an eruption put out a photo. I stole it. And it's Narada, Valentini, and Brett.
Oh.
Fucking, do you go to the gym with Nick or what?
Nicky looking nice.
Nick is thick, mate. Bang. He is fucking, yeah.
I like that. He's making Narada and Brett like little bitches.
Yeah.
That's so, nice. Is this a thirst trap?
That is a thirst trap, that photo.
Oh, I like that. The cowboy hat on as well. He's like, yeah. I throw bales of hay around. I only just noticed the minis too. We got the Dad must have posted the three minis.
Yes, so. The podiums. Yes, I stole that. I love that. Yeah, the podium. There they are.
Yeah, good. I like that. Somehow I got on the tee off socials. Bunch of lame photos there, but that's fine. Ours are good. Let's get on ours. Oh yeah, that's no. Nah, actually, this is another not light. Matt J. Crawford. He sends,
good. Thank you.
This is a not light. So yes. he sends in a photo to you saying, yes. Look at me watching, listening to Throwlers on my way into the eruption.
Yeah.
Next minute, I get a fucking tee off image of him sending the exact same fucking thing to them.
Yeah.
Oh, get out of here. We've got to check the time. 4 hours and 14 minutes was on his thing for them. Yep. And 3 hours. So you listen to them first. Fuck off. Matty J. Crawford, not light. Hate it.
Well spotted.
I hate it.
Well spotted. Get out of here. That is not light of the year.
You can't double up.
That's a late entry for not light of the year. Yeah. No, that did. That was like a dagger to the heart when I saw that.
I saw your post, and I was like, oh, yeah, excellent. And then I saw the tee off one. I was like, oh, gross.
And they didn't. I just went through. How good are AI chapters? We're rambling now, but Spotify does like AI chapters, so you can get a sense to like what's on the podcast. And I was like, all right, I'll read these chapters to see if the tee off got any feedback about their bad call on our tournament. And they didn't even go back to it. Like I haven't listened, but I assume they don't talk about it because it's not in the chapters.
Yeah.
Not get feedback.
Yeah, probably not. I was talking to Bainey about it today, though. I was like, mate. I was like, don't worry about what the tee off said. I was like, ask anyone who played it. It was fun as fuck.
Yeah.
I was like, it wasn't like, yeah. Anyway, we've talked enough about it. But I was like, nah, it was dope, and we're doing it again next year. And he's like, oh, we might have to do the same in Brisbane then. I was like, go for it.
Yeah.
I tell you what, imagine if like in 5 years' time, the Oz Disc Day gets cancelled just because every single tournament is... is 13 holes and an island on every hole.
That's like everyone's searching for that illustrious 1,200 meter round.
Imagine how cooked it could be if we made it fucking 13 holes next year. Three rounds of 13.
And Peter J just going, fucking hell. They really have it sussed out, don't they? Jesus Christ.
Anyway, my cup's empty, so let's end this so I can fill back up.
Yeah, enjoy.
Sounds good.
Peace out, everyone.
Stay up.